Jesus tells them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. The parable of the unjust judge and the widow provides encouragement for us when we feel discouraged. Feeling discouraged or losing heart can happen anywhere, anytime, for any reason. Who hasn't felt discouraged about the government in the last few weeks? Who hasn't felt discouraged about the economy, the real estate market in the last few years? And where is the justice? Where is the justice for the poor and the persecuted? When things in the world seem hard and out of our control, we turn to the church for comfort and consistency. And yet, even here, we can be discouraged. In fact, Luke's gospel addresses this situation of losing heart because it is so common. It was such a threat to the early Christians and community. They were struggling to follow Christ, given their unfavorable times of persecution and just trying to figure it all out. And that's kind of where we still are, isn't it? Trying to figure it all out, doing the best we can in a time when many would say this is not the most favorable time for spreading the gospel, and yet so much opportunity. I think it is actually a great time to be a Christian. The unjust judge was the opposite of what a judge should be, as he had no fear for God, no respect for God, no respect for people. Even this judge would respond, however, to the persistency of one seeking justice. The central point of the parable being that if the unjust judge will respond, certainly our loving God will respond to us, God's chosen ones, God's children. But timing was and is an issue. We don't always see or understand how God is responding to us now. And we generally want the response to be understandable and immediate. But our experience of God and church and our life as God's beloved in the world, it's not about instant gratification, but it's about the steady, consistent commitment of God to us. And then in return, our steady, consistent commitment to what can sometimes be a winding and confusing journey of faith, but ultimately so fulfilling, so much joy, so much opportunity for love and sharing love. One of the themes that keeps coming up for me in preaching since I've been with you 3 months ago is the matter of faith. And in the final verse of today's gospel reading, we heard Jesus say, when the Son of Man returns, the second coming, the end of history as we know it, will faith be found on earth? And so once again, this idea, this concept, this faith, what is this? What does it look like? Perhaps one reason this has been coming up for me a lot here at Holy Comforter is I see here a lively, lively faith, multi-dimensional, so many experiences and examples of faith in action. There are many ways to see it here: the worship, the prayer, the music, our commitment to social justice and all the different ministries that we do. No brochure or sermon can begin to cover all that you and I are doing for God, for each other, and wherever we find God's children in need, locally and abroad. For example, I continue to learn. I've been here 3 months now. If you didn't know, I just got here in July. So I'm continuing to learn. One of the ministries I'm learning about more and more is the Christ Family's ministry. Christ Family Ministry. I guess what I learned recently was that there are mentors from the congregation who work with families, helping them in a mentoring way, and that we've supported material needs of many families over the years, and that this program has been going on for 40 years. Is that possible? That's amazing. How wonderful is that? So that's one of those ministries I'm learning more about. And one of the primary ways, you know, I was talking about timing and how God responds. One of the primary ways God responds and does not delay in addressing matters of justice is through us. Through us. We are approaching our annual Commitment Sunday, what was referred to earlier as Stewardship Sunday, when we make a financial commitment to God's ministry through Holy Comforter. If you were here last Sunday, you may be thinking, didn't Hillary preach about money and pledging last Sunday? Well, yes, but it has been said that every sermon is really a stewardship sermon, and there are so many angles from which to view our various commitments to God. And today's is responding to this idea of responding to God, this ongoing response of God's to us, and how we respond and how we can be persistent in our faith. And if this is a little much for you on these topics, I'll be away next Sunday on our parish retreat. And our guest celebrant and preacher may give you a break, although maybe not. I mentioned last Sunday that sometimes people will say things to me about church that challenge my ability to appear neutral and open to whatever they are saying. I'd like to give you another example from years ago when a church member told me that he would not make a pledge to the church because our budget was too small and it would be a bad investment. Again, it's really hard, you know, to just look neutral when somebody says that. And it was all I could do not to say, well, if you were to make a pledge, the budget would be in better shape. There's so many theological and spiritual and pastoral issues at play in such a conversation. And I don't think that man's view on the church and money is unusual, because it's coming out of a business model with which most of us are very familiar. We're influenced by this business model even when we're unaware of such influence if we grew up in this country. But the church is not like other organizations that you and I join, we pay our dues or the fee, and we expect a product or a service. That's really not what giving money to the church is about. First, for those who call this our church, we are the church. We're not paying for someone to give us something when we pledge and give, but rather, we are responding in gratitude to what God has already given us, our very lives, our world, the earth, this ministry that we share. And wanting this ministry to glorify God and so that we can respond to the needs of the world as God responds to us, we give so that this church can be the best possible and most effective expression of Christian faith that it can be. To be the Christian community God is calling us to be. I want to give you a couple examples of how we do that. We want to care for the youth, the young, the youngest of this church in the best possible way. And one of the very concrete things that's been discussed recently among people and leadership here is how to support our nursery program, how to staff the nursery. We want to care for those children. And then on the other end of things, often older people, we want to care for our members who are not able to drive themselves to church anymore, but want to come. And it's been my experience that these are the people who come every Sunday, every day, every time we gather. So we're working on how can we provide transport in a way that works and is doable by us. And like many of our ministries, the answer to both the youth and the other issue, these issues will require, as do all of our ministries, a combination of financial and hands-on support from us. So I wanted to give you a couple of concrete examples, because it's easy to walk away from here with just a general idea of what's happening. But what you give makes a huge difference in the lives of people, individuals, and the community. What might keep us from being responsive? More than anything, I believe it is a matter of the heart. More than the amount of money or time that you and I have, it is a matter of the heart. And our hearts can be so fragile. And our hearts may be cautious because we've been hurt in the past. But Jesus says to us today through the parable, pray always and do not lose heart. Be persistent. And in our persistence, our faith is known to others and ourselves. It's known and it grows. We keep our hearts and our minds open through a commitment to prayer, to taking part in this language of love, God's language of love that connects us to God. So being open to ongoing connection with what is and the one who is divine. That keeps us responsive and committed, and it helps our hearts that can be so fragile. It takes us back to basics. Who is God for us, and how do I respond? And what is the character or disposition of your heart today, of my heart today? I don't know about you, but I've been discouraged at times in my life, sometimes about the church, and sometimes about personal issues. I've felt the temptation to close down, to harden myself. And when that's happened, eventually, the verses that came to me and come to me still are from Ezekiel. God speaking to God's people in Ezekiel's day and now. You may be familiar with this reading from the Easter Vigil. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Vulnerability. A heart of flesh can be pierced. It can be hurt. But an open heart of flesh can respond in ways that a heart of stone never can. And even in those whose heart of stone seems to be firmly in place, God can give a new heart. God does this. And God brings us together into community where we are vulnerable, to make known God's love for the whole world. And that's what it is to be the church, responsive hearts to the glory of God. As I was writing this sermon, another bit of scripture came to me that perhaps will speak to you as well. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, spoke words of encouragement to those who might lose heart, saying that through grace, the unearned gift of God, through grace, Paul and all other followers of Jesus Christ have peace with God. And not only that, Paul says, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Amen.